live at AsylumFantasySports.com. It's the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show.
We are Fligger and Briggs. Welcome to the Asylum, and we apologize if our audio isn't all that wonderful because Mr. Fligger is living the high life down in the Outer Banks.
No question about it, Rick. Taking a much-deserved vacation, or as I like to call it, getting drunk somewhere else. That's all it really is, if we're being honest.
That's true. Getting drunk in the same spot, so I'm not on vacation.
Yeah, you're getting drunk where you always get drunk. I drove 10 hours to get drunk somewhere else.
There you
go. Although I got to tell you, down here, it's really nice down here, decent weather, although it looks like the rapture is coming as I look outside right now, Rick. But you're probably closer to the beach than I am right now, so if you can take any respite in that, this house is a good ways back and a lot of walking, and you know I'm not a fan of that.
Well, I'll tell you what, speaking of weather, we are probably, I don't know what the system is, but I know we are under tornado watches and so forth like that this evening. So up here in PA is going to be a little rough going later on tonight, too, I believe.
Well, so at any point, either one of us could be blown not only off the air, but away Wizard of Oz style. So if it goes silent, you'll understand that, Rick. So
that's true. There actually is a quick little story. There's actually a woman that works in my department at the other job that I have, and they actually have a farm and with some horses and so forth. And apparently, this past weekend, we had I didn't have any rough weather at my house whatsoever. And apparently they were sitting in their house. Of course, they had windows and so forth open because the weather was nice. And they heard a crack and went to the window and looked out into the pasture, which wasn't all that far away from their house. I mean, they could see it plain enough. And they had a horse out in the pasture. I mean, just got smoked with lightning, and it was laying there smoldering.
Yeah, that's scary. Never had a real close encounter with lightning, and I don't suppose I want one. So, Rick, as you called me out for on last week's show, and Scott went in and even made the rankings page dummy-proof, I was shamed in doing my rankings. So they're done 2 months after everyone else in this business, Rick, did their rankings. I did mine, so I thought me making it all about me, as I'm wont to do, we will sit down and go through our rankings here tonight.
Yeah, why not? I mean, you finally got them done, and you can check them out at AsylumFantasySports.com, and you'll see it's a pretty nice little table. It has different positions. You can click on either one. It has RB for where I have them ranked, RF for where Mr. Fligger has them ranked, and then the average, it averages the two ranks out and gives you the official Asylum ranking. And, of course, they will change as training camp approaches and we move towards preseason and so forth.
Well, years might change, Rick, let's be honest.
Oh, yours will, too. There's no doubt. Scott will make things mega dummy-proof, no doubt.
Mega dummy-proof. That's come up a couple times on this show. Thank God for Scott. You know, you think about it. Somehow, otherwise, you'd have all yours written on a piece of that old-school yellow tablet paper and actually trying to cram it into the back of your computer somehow and not understanding how it gets up there on the interwebs. So,
Pedro would be trying to throw in a DOS program trying to load them in there.
Well, Pedro's an idiot. You know, that's the weird thing about this vacation. And if you notice, we're having technical problems. You want to talk about you go on a family vacation, and I had to bring Pedro with me. I had him in the back, you know, in the bed of the truck. So it's an awkward situation. Don't really have a bedroom for him, so Pedro just sort of hanging out. You know, I don't speak any Spanish, so we have a hard time communicating, but Pedro earning his keep right now. Not well, but he's earning his keep nonetheless.
Yeah, well, we're awful proud of him, too.
Yeah, well, this is his first time to see the ocean, so we're happy about that, Rick. So I'm going to make this sound right here. I don't know if you heard that. Now I'm ready, Rick. Let's get into our rankings. Let's start with the quarterback position here as I click AsylumFantasySports.com. And, of course, my quarterback rankings aren't coming up now, Rick, so why don't you start this while I have Pedro refresh this page for me.
Okay, I'm looking at the quarterback rankings, and no surprise, I have Peyton Manning as my number one quarterback, and I will save the suspense of you babbling on about some of your rankings because you have him exactly the same for an average Asylum ranking of number one.
Hey.
Aaron Rodgers exactly the same way. I've got him number two, and so do you. So we have one and two out of the way. The official asylum number three quarterback, not surprising, is Drew Brees. I have him at three. You actually have him at four where he averages out, but he's still, you know, I couldn't throw him out in my mind as one of those, you know, three kings of the quarterbacks still. But you had to, or you had the guts to do that. So why don't you elaborate a little bit?
Yeah, well, what I wanted to bring up before we started here, and shocker, I forgot, and blame the alcohol. Yeah, we talked to Dennis Farrell. Was it last week or the week before, Rick? A couple weeks ago,
yeah.
Yeah, one of our recent shows. And, you know, we got into a discussion of, as guys who do this and put our work out there over the air and on the internet, there's a certain pressure to rank certain guys in certain places. And Dennis said more than once he would have liked to have ranked a guy here, but he didn't have the guts, so he ranked him there, because that's not what the convention said. I don't want to say he didn't have the guts, but that's not what the convention said. So I said the heck with it. Here's how I did my rankings across all positions. I wrote out, literally hand wrote, because I'm a million miles away from home and wasn't able to print anything out, and I sat down at each position. I had a draft, and I ranked them just as I would take them, where I was comfortable taking them with the next guy. And, Rick, at the third spot, I am shoving all in on what we talk about Peyton Manning. I believe he looks like him. He's in his old uniform. I believe Andrew Luck is the next Peyton Manning, and I believe this is the year he makes that turn. And what sets Andrew Luck apart for me is his ability to run the ball and the amount of rushing touchdowns he gets. You know, Drew Brees is still a top four guy. You know, obviously not going to make any argument against Drew Brees, but I would rather have Andrew Luck than Drew Brees going into this year. And I ranked Andrew Luck number three, so you had him at six. I had him at three, ranked him out that he come out at four in the official asylum rankings.
Yes, he did. And, you know, getting back to what you were saying as far as, you know, you wish you could have ranked him somewhere, but, you know, the pressure to do it. I understand what you're saying. I don't think that going all in on an Andrew Luck is really, I don't know. To me, it's not pushing it all that far. I think this kid has a ton of potential, and you know, and I'm that way with Philip Rivers. I have him at five, so and you don't have him close to that. And of course, I just lost my screen. So why don't you, Pat, while I refresh?
All right. So coming in at number four was Andrew Luck. Rick has him at six. I have him at three. Matthew Stafford. Rick has him up at four. I have him at five. I just, with Calvin Johnson there, he's going to throw for around 5,000 yards. I love Golden Tate. I know a lot of people, a lot of wet blankets on Golden Tate, but this is a guy I'm really buying into. In terms of helping this offense, I don't know about Golden Tate's fantasy value necessarily. We can discuss that when we get to the wide receivers. Rick, a guy I thought we would end up having a discussion about, came in at number six. You had him at seven. I had him at six. And I think a guy that could finish higher. I am very, very high on Matt Ryan this year, and apparently you are equally. And we talked about this. We were on FF Toolbox podcast last night with our buddy FF Magic Man. Had a lot of Matt Ryan talking. I think for very odd, we're on the same page here.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I have, I am on Matt Ryan. Actually, I had him in my article that I put out probably a month and a half ago. I've actually ticked him up. I initially had him at eight. And, I do look for a real bounce back year for the Falcons as far, and Matt Ryan. Look, he had 4,500 yards and 26 touchdowns. That was without Julio Jones, and he suffered without Roddy White most of the season, too. You know, I'm still a believer that Harry Douglas, not that, you know, don't get me wrong, I don't think Harry Douglas is going to be any type of fantasy stud or anything this year, but I just think the emergence of him and the chemistry he developed with Ryan in a you know, sticky situation last year, I think that is really going to help Julio Jones and Roddy White, especially with Tony Gonzalez no longer around. I still think they have plenty of weapons, and now you have Matt Ryan, who has chemistry with, guess what, three of these guys now. So I just think the recipe is there for a real bounce back year.
Yeah, and look, this guy still threw for 4,500 yards last year. It was the 17 interceptions that killed him and the offensive line. Offensive line coming back looks a lot more healthy. So I think you're going to see an improved Matt Ryan. Julio Jones is out for a good bit of the year. He's back. We'll get into him because I have him ranked exceptionally high when we get to the wide receivers, and I think Matt Ryan pays off. At number 7, Rick, I had him at 9. You had him at 5. You've been beating the drum for a month now, Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, I do. I'm high on Phillip Rivers. I just love what they're doing. You know, in that McCarthy offense, they're going into their second year. You know, Keenan Allen, I like looking at him. And, you know, they've got the other guys coming back. And I just like that they've got the deep running back stable, albeit it's not the most spectacular thing. But you got Woodhead and, of course, your boy Ryan Matthews. They bolstered up a little bit with Donald Brown, who actually – to me, last year, to his credit, when push came to shove and Trent Richardson was brought into town, actually outperformed him. And, you know, maybe this guy has stepped forward a little bit as a better player. So you got a nice, deep running back stable there. You got some good wide receivers, plenty of them, where he can spread the ball around. Yeah, and I'm very high on Phillip Rivers this year.
All right, so let's jump around a little bit. I'm going to look, Rick, to some areas we agree or disagree, guys ranked higher or lower. Tom Brady, you have him down at 11. I have him at 7. And I'll tell you what, Tom Brady is creeping up the rankings a little bit for me. Hearing Brandon LaFell talk, you know, this is a guy you've been high on for years. I think a guy probably ready to break out. So he comes in at 9 total in our rankings. I'm not sure Tom Brady's done yet. And I think this is a guy you're going to get in the 6th, sometimes 7th round in some of the mock drafts I've done. If I can get Tom Brady down there, I am going to be absolutely ecstatic. It's not going to be 2007 for him again, but I think this guy is getting tremendously undervalued after a bad year last year.
Yeah, I tend to agree, and I certainly, actually, I had him at 12 earlier. I ticked him up to 11, and he will be in single digits, I do believe, before the preseason even starts. I'm really starting to like everything that I'm hearing. You know, we had Steve Ballistri. I got it right on last week or the week before. From the Patriots 4th and 2 podcast, talking about, you know, the Patriots up there. And, you know, Aaron Dobson, Tompkins, you know, they really matured a lot last year in their rookie seasons. I look for them to be good. I think Dobson will be okay from that foot injury. Yeah, Brady's going to have a ton of weapons. If Gronk's healthy, look out.
Yeah, and that's the key. The key for this Patriots team, the key for their offense, and the key for Tom Brady is Rob Gronkowski's health. Let's jump down, Rick. The next big disparity I see is Tony Romo. He comes out at 12 in our rankings. You still got him in the top 10 at 10. I ticked him down to 14. I'm concerned about those injuries. If he's healthy, I love your ranking. It's right where he is in the 9-10 range, and I agree with you. Right now, maybe I'm more concerned about that injury. He's sort of babying a little bit in OTAs. This is going to be one of those wait and see when we get to camp. But I'm worried about Tony Romo a little bit going into this year.
I was initially. I'm getting a better feeling of Tony Romo. He was saying he's feeling good. He could play if he had to right now. And, of course, they all say that. I understand that. But I don't know. I think Tony Romo is poised for a couple of big years here. I mean, he's getting, you know, we're talking about some of these guys getting older. He's one of them. And I'm sure he has some years left. But I think, you know, with Dez Bryant peaking and DeMarco Murray actually stayed healthy, I don't know. They still have Jason Witten who's getting old. I can't say he is old. But these guys, they've got about a 2 or 3 year window before a lot of this is going to start falling apart. I'm looking for Tony Romo to have a pretty big year this year.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, having him ranked that low, if I get to the 8th, 7th, 8th, 9th round of my draft, which is where he's going, and presumably I don't have my quarterback yet, which I generally don't, I will be thrilled to take Tony Romo down there. I'm going to get myself a good backup. just to be safe, but Tony Romo would be a guy I'd be happy to get down there. Rick, the next big disparity I have, and I know you were actually taking the task on Twitter about this one, I've got Jay Cutler up in the 10 spot. You have him down at 16. I just think with the offensive weapons there, when we get to the running backs here shortly, where I have Matt Forte ranked, everything going, Alshon Jeffrey, Brandon Marshall, the tight end spot, everything going, I'm very, very high on Jay Cutler this year.
You know, that ranking of 16 is not so much that I don't like Jay Cutler. What I don't like about Jay Cutler is his propensity to get injured and to, you know, warrant a quarterback one rating from me. I kind of like durability. And, you know, I just haven't seen that in him lately. Certainly he's got the weapons. You got Matt Forte. And, I mean, you know, we just go on and on about that. And I love the Trestman system. I could get bitten with this sort of a low ranking. And he may tick up, you know, before the season starts somewhat. But I just can't feel like I can go all in on Jay Cutler ranking him as a QB1 right now. I just don't trust him.
And you know what? It's fair. He takes a beating. He misses games. He missed a good portion of last season. I think at this point I made the decision, and it sounds odd coming off I've ranked Tony Romo lower based on the current injury. Jay Cutler's healthy now. I'm going to take the risk that he stays healthy. Obviously, this could change if he gets banged up. I think the point is, if he's healthy, Rick, and I'm sure you would agree with this, if he's healthy, he probably is a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah, I think so, and there's no question about that. Look, him and Marshall certainly have the chemistry. Jeffrey is a, you know, Brandon Marshall 1A, and then, of course, Forte and Bennett. There are tons of weapons there. So, yeah, I mean, he has a potential, obviously, to be top 10, just like you're talking about. Yeah, before we get going, I want to hit on one. It's not so much that we're so far apart, and he's still a QB1. But it is interesting that we are sort of on the same page. Cam Newton has ticked down to number 8 in my rankings and number 12 in yours, and he is the 10th rank right now. I mean, you know, this guy has been going since after his rookie year, one of the top 5 quarterbacks. And both of us seem to be, you know, just a little dubious of throwing him up there.
Yeah, you're right, and this is another one of those, and it was big news on Twitter all day, Rick, that we were simpatico on Micah's show last night, and this is another one we agree on Cam Newton. Look, for me, it comes down to he's got no weapons. You've got Jason Avant, you got Jericho Cotchery. They brought the rookie in, but he's just that. He's a rookie. No running game to speak of. What also, you have the ankle injury. The other thing that concerns me with Cam Newton, what holds his value up there is his rushing, which he's going to rush the ball, but also his rushing touchdowns. You bring in Mike Tolbert last year. Mike Tolbert snaked a lot of those touchdowns away from him. I think that Cam Newton's never been, since his rookie year when he was inexplicably throwing up all those 400-yard games out of nowhere, as we screamed on these very airwaves, Rick, week after week, not to play Cam Newton. He'd never do it again. And then he'd turn around and do it again. Since then, this has been a 225-yard guy who's made up for it with 70 yards rushing and a touchdown or two rushing the ball. With Mike Tolbert taking those away, Steve Smith's gone, and a complete lack of weapons. And I just think Carolina's a team heading the wrong direction. Cam Newton's a guy I'm not going to pay that top 4-round price for that I'm going to have Cam Newton, and that's why he's ranked down there, and you have him in the same spot.
Yeah, and I tell you, this guy really reminds me of another quarterback by the name of Dante Culpepper. I saw a little stat on Twitter, I think a couple of days ago, Scott Kazmir had out there, and comparing Cam Newton, Russell Wilson, Kaepernick, and one or two others, I can't remember. Cam Newton by far takes more direct hits and head-on collisions than any of the other guys. I mean, this guy is not afraid to put his head down and take a beating. And you see what happens when that happens to a quarterback. They start to wear out a lot quicker.
Yeah, yeah, no question about it. When such a big part of his game is rushing the ball, you saw Michael Vick, huge years, and just completely fall off the table. And then, well, he had the other issues as well. But you see it happen again. So, Rick, anything else at the quarterback position you see, or are you ready to jump over to the running backs?
About the only other one is you are much higher on Sam Bradford than I am. He comes in with an asylum ranking of 21. You have him at 15. I have him at 25, which really isn't even QB2 numbers. And, you know, I'm a little bit shaky on that. I'm just really not high on Bradford. I'm not thrilled with his command of the team and the field, to be honest with you. You know, if Kenny Britt can pan out, you know, along with these other guys, he could have a monster year.
Yeah, I agree, Rick. And that ranking is based on before he got hurt last year, Rick. This guy was he 11, 10, 11, somewhere? He was in the top 12. He was putting up QB1 numbers before he got hurt. You saw Tavon Austin start to emerge towards the end of the year, making big plays. Not big catch numbers, but started making plays, started getting in the end zone. I like Kenny Britt. If he can stay out of prison, we know Kenny Britt's favorite thing to do. His second favorite thing to do is be a good receiver. His number one favorite thing to do is get arrested. If he can avoid that, that's a big upgrade there. They've got Zach Stacy. They've got the good running game there. And we saw Sam Bradford start to emerge before that injury. I'm going to take a chance. I'd like to have this guy as my second quarterback and just keep an eye on him. I think this is the make-or-break year, and I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt after what I saw in a short stretch last year and give him the benefit of the doubt that he's ready to make that turn.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I have the guts on him, but, boy, he has all the talent in the world, doesn't he?
Yeah, no question about it. So, Rick, let's jump to the running back position. We'll take the suspense out of it. LeSean McCoy comes in at number one. You ranked him one overall. I ranked him at two. Not a lot to discuss there for Shady McCoy. Number two is where it gets interesting right off the bat, Rick. Matt Forte, I've gotten a few wows, you know, in different shows we've been on and guests we've had on. I've got Matt Forte ranked at number one overall. You have him at four, so he comes in at two in our rankings. You have him at four, where most people see him. Rick, what I saw out of this guy last year, we base these rankings on a PPR format. I think the Bears' offense is going to be a juggernaut, and with all those weapons, I think it's going to run through Forte. I'm shoving all in on Forte, and this is my number one running back going into this season.
Yeah, and I mean, you make a good case for him. There's no question about that. And if he follows up that year he had last year and can stay healthy, he has all the chance in the world to be that number one running back. Jamaal Charles, we all know Kansas City's offensive line. They lost three starters in the offseason. So, you know, that's still a little bit of a question mark there. LeSean McCoy, to me, he is hard not to put at number one this year. For me, I've got Jamaal Charles at two, and I got Peterson at three, not because of the pressure to have him there. I just think that he just doesn't show any signs of wearing down. But Matt Forte, I do have at four, and he certainly could lay claim to the number one spot because, you know, Chicago, very potent offense. I think they're going to be a lot more potent than Kansas City. They're going to be right up there, you know, with the Packers and so forth. So, yeah, I can't argue with that. But the only thing that really gets me is maybe, you know, his propensity to injury, which is not huge. You know, last year he played 16 games. I guess it's just a long memory of him being banged up in some of the Lovie Smith years.
Yeah. And if you remember, he complained about it. He was upset about the workload he was getting. I think in Trestman's offense, he's being used the right way. He's got other weapons around him once you bring Brandon Marshall in and Alshon Jeffrey starting to reach his pinnacle. So, you know, we'll see what it is. That's one I'm going to stick by. And if it works, I look like a genius. And if he finishes fourth where you have him, you know, I think that's fair too. I think any one of these top four, pretty much interchangeable. But I think there's a discussion. You have Jamaal Charles at two. I think I may raise a few eyebrows. I have him at four. And actually, I think for me, Rick, it's a generous four in the fact that I am so concerned about the way that offensive line was decimated in the offseason. Look, if Andy Reid find ways to get Jamaal Charles the ball in space, he's going to be Jamaal Charles. And that's what he does. And I trust Andy Reid to do that, which is why I keep him at four. But I have so many concerns about him being able to run between the tackles that I think it ticks him down just a little bit in my rankings. And Rick, I'm going to let you go on that. I got a small technical difficulty here that Pedro can't handle. So you go on your boy Jamal Charles. I'll be back in 15 seconds if I'm not responding.
No problem. Yeah, I mean, Jamal Charles, we talked about the offensive line. But, Jamal Charles is Jamal Charles, and I've got to have him at number two, even though – and I got him at a close number two to LeSean McCoy right now. And when you get to McCoy, Charles, Peterson, and Forte, in my mind, you can throw him in a hat and pull him out and make claim to number one for any of them. Our fifth-ranked running back was Eddie Lacy. I actually had him at fifth. Flager has him at three. He has him over Jamal Charles and Adrian Peterson. So, he's not quite as high on Peterson. He's a little higher on Lacy. That's fine. They're just switched in positions, and they're virtually tied. And, well, I'm talking, so, you're really interrupting me.
Stay your friend.
No. I was just talking about Eddie Lacy and Adrian Peterson virtually tied. Peterson's in the four spot, Lacy at the five, but they have the exact same asylum ranking of four. I have Peterson three and Lacy five, and you are just the opposite.
Look, Adrian Peterson. I've made no secret, I'm nervous about him. I'm not terrified of him enough to drop him out of the top of my rankings, and I don't have the guts to do it necessarily. However, you saw him miss some games last year, Rick, which you never saw out of him, save for that knee injury. Started getting nicked up a little bit. That makes me a little bit uncomfortable with Adrian Peterson. Eddie Lacy, I loved what I saw out of him. We talked about with somebody in a recent show. He reminds me of Jerome Bettis a little bit. He has that look about him. He's an every down back in a pass first offense. I think you're going to see him get involved in PPR. Eddie Lacy is a guy. I think I can draft him and probably feel more comfortable than Adrian Peterson. There's more upside probably with Adrian Peterson, but Eddie Lacy is that steady Eddie guy, Eddie guy that I'm really looking for.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And then we come back with 6 and 7. We have Arian Foster and Marshawn Lynch. Basically throw them in a hat, pull them out. They have the exact same ranking. I have Foster at 7, Lynch at 6. You're just the opposite. So, that's very comparable right there.
I think we're both higher on Foster than a lot of our contemporaries, though, Rick.
Yeah, and how short memories people have. Arian Foster was a top three guy until last year. And he got injured, and all of a sudden, people just aren't talking about him. But I tell you what, Ben Tate's not there. I'm still believing that Houston sees something that obviously we don't know, that Arian Foster is just fine. And I think he's going to be Arian Foster this year. Lynch is still going to be beast mode. I see him, with that back and so forth, maybe that he could be wearing down just a tab. I'm not willing to throw the towel in on him. But I'll tell you what, one of the more interesting rankings was DeMarco Murray coming in at 8, and he did not receive a ranking that high from either one of us.
No, yeah, I'm not sure how those numbers worked out exactly. You're the math guy, and I'm not. Here's the thing. Here's what I want to point out, Rick. When we've had discussions over and over again amongst ourselves and with many a guest on, we'll see it when we get to our wide receiver rankings as well. Rick, when I get after Marshawn Lynch, it completely falls off the table for me. Now we're in the land of put them in a bag and pull one out for about the next 10 or 15 slots. This is where it got tough for me. I'm high on Foster. I'm high on Lynch. DeMarco Murray's a guy, Rick's always made me nervous. I actually got him ranked a spot ahead of you. This is assuming he stays healthy. I like that Cowboys offense and assumes Tony Romo's healthy. But I think the point is, if you don't get one of these top 7 or 8 guys, it gets a little dicey there. I'll just read down through them. We got Murray, then we got Reggie Bush, Gio Bernard, Alfred Morris, Le'Veon Bell, Zach Stacy, Monte Ball. I think there's question marks with every single person there. Once you get after Marshawn Lynch, there's question marks.
Well, and what's funny, when you bring up once you get past Marshawn Lynch, you hit that, I don't know what you could say, a no man's land or throw him in a hat, whatever you want to call it. And you know, you can tell it by the way we ranked them. I have Gio Bernard at 13. You have him at 8. I have Zach Stacy at 8, and you have him at 16. And then we have, like, Le'Veon Bell and Alfred Morris at 11 and 12 and so forth, and we're pretty much chalked till you get down to Doug Martin, who is our 16th-ranked running back. I have him at 20. You have him at 15. He scares me a little more than you do. So, I mean, there's a lot of question marks with these guys.
Yeah, no question about it, and that's why on the top end of your draft, don't be drafting Calvin Johnson. Don't draft Peyton Manning. I'm telling you, get one of these, you know, plug them in, no worry, running backs. You know, we had a lot of debate here for a long time about Matt Forte 1 versus 4, Jamaal Charles 2 versus 4, Peterson 3 versus 5. Those aren't big concerns. These guys are all plug them in, play them, and you're going to be happy with it. You know, after that point, you know, let's just look at some ones where we're far apart. Rick, Doug Martin, you know, it's 15. I don't feel real good about it. I can actually see him moving down. It's just as I picked him up, you know, I was happy to see, Rick, that we are simpatico on Ryan Matthews. I have him at 14. You have him at 15. I was looking down in the 30s for your Ryan Matthews pick. I was stunned to find him up there at 15.
You know, I said over and over, it wasn't that I hated Ryan Matthews, but I wanted to see a full season out of this guy. Well, I finally got one. And, you know, I liked what I saw. And I really like the situation that he's in this McCarthy offense. You got Ryan Matthews, and we see how Danny Woodhead complimented him, and now you bring in Donald Brown. I think the workload's going to be what Ryan Matthews needs. And when he has the workload that he needs, I think he's a really good back.
Yeah, no question about it. You know, Doug Martin, it remained to be seen with his health. Let's jump down to the next disparity. I see Ricky came in at 17. You have him at 16. I have him at 22. So we both have him at RB2, so the gap isn't that far. But Toby Gerhardt, I think you trust him a little more than I do.
Yeah, I do. And the reason I do, it's not so much that Gerhardt really has so much success anywhere else. But what I like is Jacksonville has a good offensive line, and traditionally, you look at Maurice Jones-Drew, they've had success in running. And that's been, you know, their bread and butter. I mean, they've been through a lot of rough times, but they could always run the ball. And I like the situation that Gerhardt's going in. He doesn't have much mileage on him, and I think he's going to have some pretty good production. And he's going to, by the way, he's going to be cheaper, I'll bet you, than guys like Ben Tate, Trent Richardson, et cetera. And I think he's very comparable in production, if not even a little bit better.
Yeah, it'll remain to be seen. What we do know with Toby Gerhardt, where I made sure to keep him in the RB2 category. While I don't necessarily trust his ability to stay healthy and to put up numbers, he's going to be the rare guy. He's the only game in town, Rick. He's going to get the carries, so he's a safe RB2, I think, going in. Jumping down both low on C.J. Spiller at 18. We don't need to have that discussion again. Next big gap I see are the next two guys at 19 and 20, Rick. Let's start at 19. Ben Tate, you got him at 17. I got him on the outer fringes of an RB2 at number 24.
Yeah, I think Ben Tate and Toby Gerhardt are very similar. To me, Ben Tate has a golden opportunity with Cleveland here. They really haven't had a running back for some time. And I think this guy's, you know, only 2 or 3 years away from a 900-yard campaign when Arian Foster went down a little bit. I think Ben Tate certainly has the talent to be there. I have him at 17. You have him at 24, still RB2, although mine's mid-RB2. You know, I'm not all in on Ben Tate, but I think if – and you look at my rankings, C.J. Spiller comes in at 18, just one higher than Ben Tate. You have Spiller at 20. I have him at 19. See, I have him below Ben Tate because I like the idea that you have a starting running back. And to me, you don't have a Fred Jackson effect in Cleveland. And therefore, I just think the potential's there. You know, and the price is right. You're going to have some pretty good production. I think Ben Tate would be graded at RB2.
Yeah, it's hard to argue. Here's what we know about Ben Tate. He's going to get every opportunity. It's his job. Whether or not it's good enough, that's what we'll find out. At the next spot at 20, Trent Richardson, we're very different. You have him at an RB3 at 25. I got him at 17. It might be smoke and mirrors, Rick. I am buying into the full offense in what they're dubbing in Indianapolis is not a pass-first offense, run-first offense, but as a score-first offense. You know how high I am clearly on Andrew Luck from what we talked about earlier. I think this takes Trent Richardson with it a little bit, and I think you see this guy bump up into some, you know, I have him as a high RB2, and you got him in an RB3.
Yeah, I can see him going up as the season progresses. I'm not sure. I'm keeping an eye on Ahmad Bradshaw, to be honest with you. Hey, he played very little last year, and, you know, his feet are always a worry. But we also saw when he was playing. I mean, this kid's still young. He's only like 26 years old. And, you know, when he does play, you know, he performed well. And I'm just still a little leery on Trent Richardson being the guy, you know, using the air quotes in Indianapolis. And but it looks like he's getting the first team reps and a lot more carries and so forth in preseason. Yeah, I got him ticking back up in RB2 territory, no doubt.
Yeah, I think what it is with him. What you're going to have to watch is the beginning of the year. This is where I'm going to stick with Trent Richardson in this regard. I think the team looked really bad last year after making that deal. He made the Browns look like geniuses. And anytime you make the Browns look smart, that's bad business right there. He came in, he was so bad. I think he's going to get every opportunity to succeed. We know what he's capable of on some bad Browns teams. You put him on a good Colts offense, give him a year to figure out the offense. If by week four he's still struggling, I'm done with him. I'm not going to overdraft the guy, but Trent Richardson's a guy I think I can give it a good value, and knowing the Colts are going to give him every opportunity to succeed.
Yeah, and I mean, he carries an asylum ranking still in RB2 territory, but, you know, at number 20. You know, at number 21, another despairing rankings, you have Stephen Ridley at 25, which is RB3 numbers. I have him at 18, which is very similar to the Trent Richardson ranking. You know, I'm not convinced that Shane Vereen is just going to be the guy to come in here and take everything away from Ridley. You know, this guy is a touchdown machine when they get down in the red zone, to be honest with you, and he gets a lot of the workload rushing.
Yeah, I agree. He, similar to Trent Richardson, he's going to get every chance. I think he's going to fail. I think you've got Bolden up there. You've got Vereen. There's somebody on that roster, Rick, you've never heard of, who's going to come out and have two or three big games. Stephen Ridley continually puts it on the carpet, and we know Bill Belichick has no patience for it. Stephen Ridley's final numbers may end up closer to where you have him than to where I have him, but I got him ranked that low because that's how low he's going to have to be for me to own him, because any given week, any given play, he can fumble at an inopportune time, and you're not going to see him again for 3 weeks. That's my concern with Stephen Ridley.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to watch the Patriots. I think they have a plethora of players that could actually become fantasy significant, and you're rolling the dice to guess the right ones other than Tom Brady and Ron Gronkowski, to be honest with you. You know, and that puts us to 22nd in running backs. We're spending a lot of times on running backs, but there's a, you know, we both have them as RB2s. I got Steven Jackson at the lowest possible RB2 ranking at 24. You have him at 19. You're still a little higher on him.
Here's what it is. I'm high on that Atlanta offense. Julio Jones coming back makes all the difference in the world to me. That offensive line getting healthy. I'm excited about the Atlanta Falcons, knowing that South Division. Rick, we talked about it last night on Micah's show. Whoever finishes last wins that division the next year, so it's going to be a horse race between Atlanta and Tampa Bay. And I think Atlanta's poised to do it. I think Steven Jackson, you're not going to see those big workloads from his Rams days. I think you saw him start to come on a little bit last year. You started to see him be a 75-yard-a-game kind of guy, getting the goal line looks. I also think, Rick, with Tony Gonzalez retiring, maybe more apt to run the ball down around the goal line, and I think Steven Jackson could benefit from that. So this is a guy ticking up in my rankings that I think I can get at a good value, a guy I feel is a low end too, and I think I can get at RB3 value.
Yeah, it's very possible, and he certainly bears watching. And he's our 22nd ranked running back, rounding out the RB2s, Rashad Jennings and Andre Ellington. And then it goes to Frank Gore, Ray Rice, Chris Johnson, Knowshon Moreno, and Fred Jackson down to 29. You know, and I think we better bump up to wide receivers because a lot of discussion there. We're running out of time really quick.
Yeah. And no question about it. So no big reveal. We both have Calvin Johnson at 1, Dez Bryant at 2. You have Demaryius.
Okay, let me stop you right there now. Okay, Calvin Johnson, going back to the Dennis Farrell conversation we had 2 or 3 weeks ago, do you have Calvin Johnson there just because, or do you think he's going to be the number one receiver?
I have him there because he's Calvin Johnson. Man, any given week, he can have 312 yards and 3 touchdowns. Honestly, Rick, I'm not convinced he finishes at number one. I'm really not. I can't make a good enough argument against him. I think if you look at the top of our rankings, for me personally, I've got Calvin Johnson 1, Dez Bryant 2. I got Julio Jones up at 3, Demaryius Thomas at 4. You know, if I was doing it right this second, as you call me out a little bit, I think Demaryius Thomas may finish ahead of him. I think Dez Bryant may. But he's Calvin Johnson. And to be honest, Rick, I didn't have the stones to not put him at number one. But I'm not convinced he finishes at number one.
You know, I'm not either, Rick. But I put him at number one also because I sat there and said, okay, you're looking to draft a wide receiver. This is the guy that I want to get a wide receiver, and everyone's available. Who do you draft? I mean, how do you not take him until, you know what I mean, until he shows that he's not the number one guy out there? You know, he's Calvin Johnson.
Right, exactly. If, number one, I'm not going to own Calvin Johnson because I'm not going to spend a top 9 pick on him. I'm not going to use a first-round pick on a wide receiver, period. So I'm not going to own Calvin Johnson. But in a vacuum, if somebody just comes up and says, Rick, you right now you're drafting, you have to draft a wide receiver, and they're all available, I'm going to take Calvin Johnson. I'm not convinced, and I don't think he's going to finish one overall, but that's where I'm going to take him. That's the pick I'm going to make, and so that's where I ranked him.
And there's nothing wrong with that. He's number one, the consensus number one. Dez Bryant is a consensus number two. Demaryius Thomas is our third rank wide receiver. He got a 3 rank from me and a 4 from Rick. Brandon Marshall is 4, and I gave him a 4 rank. You gave him a 6. And that brings into our number 5 rank wide receiver, which is Julio Jones, and you ranked him as high as number 3. I had him at 9, and, you know, I heard a little bit of yours. I'm going to give you a little bit of why I'm not quite as high on him yet. I'm not ready to throw all in yet on this knee. I mean, I'm just reading reports that he's making progress and starting to cut. I mean, until I see that this thing, I mean, he's going full steam and he maybe has, you know, a preseason game under his belt, he worries me to death. I mean, he has been hurt all the time, and I just can't rank him that high just because of that.
Yeah. There's a certain amount of risk there with the injury, Rick. What I know is when he was healthy last year, this guy's good for 20 yards a catch. He's the fastest guy on the field. Roddy White also coming back from a bad injury. Harry Douglas, nice complimentary piece there. Again, you take Tony Gonzalez out, it opens up things for other guys. Julio Jones, physically, if he's healthy, is a physical specimen, is a pass catcher. He's in the top 3 in the league for me. That's where I'm going to take him. It is risky, and you see it, you know, where you're at and having him at 9. I'm going to take him at 3. This is a guy I think I can get. If I'm picking in the top middle of the first round, I can get my running back, whoever it may be. I can come back and get Julio Jones and have a guy I feel like is a top 5 wide receiver there.
Yeah, the potential certainly there is no question about that. Let's round down. We went through 5. Let's go to the next 5. We've got A.J. Green, Antonio Brown, Larry Fitzgerald, Alshon Jeffrey, and Vincent Jackson rounds out at number 10. No real you know, nothing really to talk about there as far as her rankings go. We're all about the same page there. Then we hit Victor Cruz at number 11.
Let me stop you at Victor Cruz, Rick.
Okay.
I was surprised by this one. I thought I was going out on a limb a little bit. I ranked him at 12, and I see you ranked him at 13, which somehow puts him at 11 in our rankings, but you know, I won't argue math. This is a guy, as you look at the major sites, the ESPNs, the Yahoos, this is a guy in the mid-20s in a lot of cases coming after off of the struggles he had last year. I thought I was going off board a little bit and surprised to see that you were right there with me.
Well, I tell you what, I trust Tom Coughlin. I trust Eli Manning to a point that he will not be as bad as he was last year.
I don't think that's possible.
No, I don't either. And, you know, I do. I just trust that this team somehow is going to throw it together this year into, you know, will they win the division? I don't think so, but I think they're going to contend right down to the wire. And, you know, I think Victor Cruz is going to be a big part of it.
Yeah, if that offense is going well, it's going to run through Victor Cruz. This guy, again, the ability to get downfield, he's got good hands, he's a touchdown machine. I think the wheels just came off in New York last year. Eli Manning, to your point, is a better quarterback than we saw last year. The team in general is a better team than you saw last year, and I think Victor Cruz is the most talented, most athletic guy they have out there, and I'm going to trust that he bounces back to this point. This is going to be another guy, Rick, you can actually get a little bit of value on. I think you get low-end one, high-end two, as you look at our rankings, value out of a guy you're going to get later on when some of these big-name receivers are going to go in the top two rounds.
Yeah, no question about it. And, you know, Victor Cruz has all potential in the world. I think the Giants have nowhere to go but up. And, you know, I think you can get Victor Cruz at a pretty good value this year. You know, we go to number 12, Randall Cobb. A little different there. I had him up at number 10. You have him at 15. Averages out to a 12 ranking. You know, you just not high on Cobb, or are you in a little higher on Jordy Nelson, or are you just not as high on the Green Bay offense? What is it?
I have said it over and over again, Rick, and this Randall Cobb's name came up so many times when we were doing the slant last year before he got hurt, obviously. This is the third offseason, Rick. Randall Cobb has been talked about as a number one fantasy receiver, and per our average, he actually came in at a number one fantasy receiver. Rick, I flat haven't seen it yet. I know he's got the potential. I know he's quick. I haven't seen it yet. He hasn't put up the numbers. He hasn't put the season together. And I think with Jordy Nelson there's always other weapons. You saw what James Jones did a couple years ago. Green Bay's starting to remind me of New Orleans a little bit with the way Aaron Rodgers can spread it around, number one. And I'll say it again. I hate to keep repeating myself. I haven't seen it yet from Randall Cobb. I keep hearing about it, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, and I mean, time will tell. If he can stay healthy and Rodgers can stay healthy, look, they really haven't had enough time together, you know, to really become a pair. And if they both can stay healthy, I think the sky's the limit for them. You know, we go to 13. We have Mondre Johnson, 14 at Keenan Allen. The next one, 15, is one of the more interesting rankings. We have Wes Welker. You know, I have him at 11. You have him at 22. And I'll go first. I mean, you know, we're basically basing on PPR formats. I don't see how he can really dip much with Eric Decker gone. I mean, we saw what he was with Tom Brady in New England when he was like the guy, you know, using the air quotes again. Well, now he is definitely the number two guy now, and he's got a year under his belt with Peyton Manning. I think he's going to have a lot of catches. I just can't seem to get him down lower than 11.
I generally agree, Rick, and it's a guy I think I overdrafted a little bit last year. The chemistry didn't seem to be there for me. What pulled him down in my rankings, pulled him down to a two, you know, it's a low-end two, but we'll just talk about him in terms of you have him as a one, I have him as a two. What pulled him down for me is the chemistry that Peyton Manning developed with Julius Thomas and him becoming a PPR guy, him being an 8, 9, 10 catch-a-game guy. Wes Welker tending to drop the ball a little bit. Look, there is every reason any week, any given week, to believe that Wes Welker can go out and have 11 grabs like he did a lot of games in New England. I just don't have that trust factor with him, and I think a lot of it comes back to Julius Thomas. If we have time to get to our tight ends, we'll talk about him a lot more. I think, you know, we're way apart, but really we're just talking about the difference between a 1 and a 2. I think there's guys I trust more than Wes Welker.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the playoffs especially, yeah, I know what you're saying about him dropping some balls, but I just think he's going to get so many thrown at him that obviously the percentages, he's going to have plenty of catches. And until I see something that's different, I don't know if I can really lower him much in that. Then we got Jordy Nelson, Pierre Garçon at 17, really not much.
You know, Rick, before you go on, we both have Jordy Nelson a lot lower than most of our colleagues out there.
Well, you know, I'm not sure exactly where a lot of them have him, but I have him as a WR2. Now, I have Randall Cobb ranked higher than him, and, well, I guess you do too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 15 to 18, yeah. Yeah, pretty close. I have them pretty close to each other, but I do have Cobb a little higher.
Yeah, so maybe that is some of the little disparity there. I don't know. Maybe Nelson's coming in on some of the colleagues higher than Cobb. I don't know, but I haven't looked a lot, and like we said many times, there's no opinion I like better than mine.
Well,
so
yeah. Except mine, of course.
I'm going to stand by Jordy Nelson at 15. Look, I mean, if I've got Cobb at 10 and Nelson at 15, I don't think that's a real slap in the face. It tells me that that's a potent offense, and I've got Eddie Lacy ranked up there at 5 at running back. You know, there's no shortage in points, I don't think, coming from Green Bay.
No, and that'll be just it. Look, the thing with Jordy Nelson for me, this guy, he's getting a top 10 number in a lot of places when you look at the major sites, and I don't know what they base it on, if it's actual opinion or they're looking at ADP. Just a guy I don't trust a whole lot. At 17, we're right there together on Pierre Garçon. Jeremy Maclin, you have him at 23. I have him at 17. A bit of a disparity there, but we both have him as a low end, too.
And I can see him ticking up in my book. I mean, you know, I really like Maclin. I'm just a little more cautious coming back from injuries, but I think he's going to be fine. He'll probably be ticking up. And before we move on to the next one, yeah, we have to hit on our 19th-ranked wide receiver.
Yeah, that's a big disparity there.
It really is. I mean, we have Percy Harvin at 19, but Mr. Fleeger has him ranked at 10, and I have him ranked right now at 33.
Yeah, so I'll go ahead and defend the top 10 ranking, Rick. If Percy Harvin is healthy, and that may be the biggest if since if you're going to be alive 5 years from now, that's how big of an if Percy Harvin stays healthy. If he does, he is so dynamic. And this becomes a Pete Carroll discussion for me. Pete Carroll, in his history at USC and at Seattle, has been creative enough that Percy Harvin is a perfect fit in that offense. If he can get himself on the field, catching the ball, running the ball, as creative as Tom Coughlin is, I want Percy Harvin on my team. I want him there for everything he brings. And I think Percy Harvin, right now he's healthy, so I'm going to assume he's healthy going into my draft. It's risky. I'm just that high on the guy, Rick. It's a lot of gut feeling, too. I love the signing when he went out there, and I'm ready for him to be healthy and bust out this year.
You know, everything you said about dynamic player, the creativity of Pete Carroll, everything, I mean, I agree with 100%. I don't know where Tom Coughlin come into the conversation. I think your mind wandered there.
Did I say Tom Coughlin? I'm Pete Carroll.
Yeah. Everything about Pete Carroll, I agree 100%. He is creative. He's a mastermind. What I don't like is Percy Harvin himself. His injury, I mean, the guy seems to be falling apart at the seams and every year. And I cannot put him up any higher right now. I mean, I'm not going to draft him any higher than a WR3 right now to get on my bench, maybe as a flex or something, because I know if I draft him, to rely on him as one of my wide receivers to start in my lineup, his head's going to fall off. He's going to be out for 14 weeks.
Now, Rick, I don't think his head's actually going to fall off, is it?
I don't know. He seems everything else seems to be falling apart on that poor guy.
Well, I'm comfortable in saying Rick, his head won't fall off. So
okay.
before we move on to, and I want to hit the tight ends just real quick. I don't think there's a lot of debate there, but one guy I did want to discuss, and Pedro, come on, bring it back up for me. A guy I have him as a. Oh, I just lost it here. I got him as a
number 27 on our rankings.
Yeah, there it is. I got him as a low end 3. You got him as lock solid RB2. Is Roddy White coming back from that injury?
Yeah, I mean I'm all in on Roddy White as far as that goes. I think, look, this guy never missed a game until last year. I don't think that you know designates him as a propensity to injury. I think he's going to come back. I think this guy has something to prove. He's going to come back in shape. He's going to come back as Roddy White. And I tell you what, I'm convinced he may emerge as the WR1 on Atlanta even this year.
Wow. That's a bold statement, Rick. Being as high as I am on Julio Jones, obviously I disagree. You know, I'm worried about the injury. I'm worried about the emergence of Harry Douglas. I really am, and there may be a guy there I don't know about yet. I think as I look at it, as I think about it, Rick, and see where you have him ranked, I think Roddy White, as I redo these as we get closer to the season, is going to move up in my rankings a little bit because I got the bottom end of a wide receiver 3. I don't have him as high as 18 yet, but I will be honest, as I sit here, 36 seems a little low to me.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, he's Roddy White. He's got a history. He's got a pedigree. And I really look for him to have a bounce back year. You know, like I said, with the Falcons and Matt Ryan and so forth, I think they're all in conjunction with each other. And if the Falcons are going to have a bounce back year, I think it's going to depend on White, Ryan, and Jones.
Yeah, no question about it. Before we move on to the tight ends, Rick, we're going to go a little bit over tonight, and that's okay because I'm just sitting around getting drunk somewhere else like we talked about earlier. But the last one I want to talk about, just in the fact that I have him at 31, you have him at 21, not that far apart. But right now, Rick, you're viewing Emmanuel Sanders as a number 2 fantasy wide receiver.
Yeah, I like Emmanuel Sanders. I like anybody going to Denver right now. And, you know, I mean, they're the highest octane offense coming in from last year. I think they're going to be, you know, still top 3 this year. And we all know Peyton Manning has plenty of passes to go around. And you have Sanders, Welker, and Demaryius Thomas, and Julius Thomas. And, you know, you throw in Sanders instead of Decker. You look at them last year. There was plenty to go around for all of them. And I think Emmanuel Sanders certainly warrants a WR2 designation.
So that's my question. Do you think Emmanuel Sanders fills that Eric Decker role? I have him ranked 10 spots lower because I'll be honest, and I'm not supposed to say that as a quote-unquote fantasy expert. I'm not sure. I just don't know yet. Are you confident that Emmanuel Sanders fills that Eric Decker role?
No, that is why. No, seriously. I mean, but that is why. Let's bear in mind now, Eric Decker was a top 10 wide receiver last year. That's why I have Welker ranked higher, because I don't think Sanders can fill in the Eric Decker role. He's not big. He's not rangy like Decker. But I still think that he's cagey enough and shifty enough that he's going to get a lot of passes and still bring you enough production. No, I don't think he can fill Eric Decker's shoes, which why it increases Wes Welker's value for me.
Yeah, and hard to argue against, and we'll see it. I do certainly like, you know, what Emmanuel Sanders can do. I got him as a high-end 3. You got him as a low-end 2. We're not that far apart, so we don't go too far over. Rick, let's just dump the tight end real quick. My takeaway from this, and we can go through the rankings if you want, my takeaway from it is, Rick, we went from times where there was one or two or three top tight ends to where tight end got really deep to where that pool's getting a little more shallow as I did these rankings this year. I struggled with it a little bit.
Yeah, I'm tending to agree with you as far as being shallow, but what I will say is the ones that are up there can actually literally bring you a championship.
Yeah, that could be the difference for you.
I mean, you have Jimmy Graham, Rob Gronkowski. We all know about them. We saw what Julius Thomas could do last year. Jordan Cameron really came into his own. You know, you have Jason Witten at number five in our rankings. Hey, he's a 100-catch guy in past years. And then Vernon Davis, he's a freak. I don't know what's going on with him. He may tick down. He may tick up in both of our rankings, depending on what's going on with his head. And then, of course, there's Greg Olsen. I mean, just Mr. Solid. And I think he's actually, you know, going to play a bigger role in that Carolina offense because he's the only guy Cam Newton knows.
Right. And the question with Greg Olsen is going to be, do they find a way to take him away, being that he is the only significant weapon, at least that we know of there in Carolina. So I think the only thing worth discussing, the only big disparity I see, Rick, is I got Jordan Reed in the top five at number five. You got him down at number 12, so we both have him as number one tight ends. This is a guy, when he was healthy last year, when we saw him playing, and I worry about – I saw a story, Rick, he's had – three or four or five concussions, some obscene number like that over the last couple years.
I have him at 12, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and maybe that's the whole reason. If he's healthy, if he can stay on the field, this guy performed as a top upper echelon tight end last year. And if it's just the injury concerns, Rick, I got no argument for you there.
Yeah, I mean, certainly he comes in at 8, and like I said, I do have him at 12. I have him, you know, below Heath Miller. I'm looking for a bounce back year from Heath Miller, and I actually have him behind Martellus Bennett and Kyle Rudolph. I think Kyle Rudolph is a little bit forgotten. I mean, he was highly touted going into last year, had kind of a rough year, was banged up, but you know, he put up some numbers.
Yeah, you've got Kyle Rudolph up there at 7. I have him at 15. My concern with Kyle Rudolph, and maybe it's more with the Vikings offense, if he doesn't find the end zone, he disappoints. If he gets in the end zone, this is a Bubba Franks kind of guy. If he gets in the end zone, he had a big week. Kyle Rudolph's never going to have 6, 7, or 8 catches when you're looking at a PPR format. What he is going to do, he's going to get in the end zone quite frequently, and I guess that's the question. Do the Vikings score enough that Kyle Rudolph can get fed to justify that ranking? And that's why I ranked him outside of my number one tight ends.
Yeah, and I mean, it's hard to argue with that, but there's a lot, there's some discussion with tight end, and I know you're not the biggest tight end guy, but I mean, like I said, some of the higher ranked ones could actually bring you a title. I mean, that's how significant they are in the offenses, where some of your other ones, your Jermaine Greshams, your Mercedes Lewis and so forth, yeah. You know, you could throw in anybody. It doesn't really much matter.
So here's my question, and we'll get out of here on this, Rick, because we are already over time. You say, and I agree, these big-time tight ends can bring you a title. When you're talking about the upper echelon in terms of Jimmy Graham, Gronk, Julius Thomas, Jordan Cameron, I say that's where I'll draw the line till you drop down to the second tier. That's your number one tier. Do they bring you the opportunity to win a championship enough that you're willing to pay the price you're going to have to pay to own one of those three or four guys?
You know, that's always a question the owner has to have. But, I mean, you go to a guy like Gronkowski a couple of years ago, what do you have, like 18 touchdowns? I mean, you're throwing that in your lineup. I mean, that is, yeah, then it's worth it. If you're going with, you know, if you paid the price for maybe a Jason Witten like last year, certainly not. Yeah, I mean, there's always risk involved, but I think Jimmy Graham and Rob Gronkowski, and I'll throw in Julius Thomas, those three are the safest ones to go high on. Once you get past that, you start getting into the second tier. Now you're really moving down in rounds. I mean, you can pick up your Greg Olsons, Jordan Reeds, Heath Millers, pretty well down in your draft and have significant production from them.
Right, you're going from the second to the sixth round. That's why I'm never going to own Jimmy Graham, because that's a first-round guy, Rick. He's going in the first round. I'm not going to do that. Rob Gronkowski, with the injury questions, I'll tell you what, if he's sitting around in the top of the third, I might think about it, but he's going to have to fall that far. Julius Thomas, he's going to go in the second round or the beginning of the third. Maybe I think about it there. Yeah, you know, Jordan Cameron, he's sort of all over the place. I'm going to go ahead and wait in that Witten, Davis, Olsen, Reed, Miller, Bennett, Rudolph tier as you look at our rankings. Now you're dropping to the fifth or the sixth. That's where I'm going to look, because I'm not going to pay that first or second round price for those top couple of guys.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And, you know, I noticed one before we get out of here. I know we're already over, but Delanie Walker, you have him as high as number 8. And I'm not certain that I don't agree with you. I have him at 16 right now, and I'm probably, when we're done with the show, probably going to move him up some. I really do like this guy.
Yeah, that's based on potential, Rick. And it is, after those top four guys, there's so many question marks. I'm going to take the risk on a Delanie Walker. What I don't know is that Tennessee offense going to be good enough to support him as well. And we'll find out if Jake Locker is that guy and he's ready to go.
And that's the thing, you know, with all the bashing that he takes, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, you don't feel bad about taking his tight end or his wide receivers because he throws the ball around. You don't know what you're going to get with Jake Locker in there.
Exactly. I agree 100%. All right, Rick. Well, we're over. It's probably about time to wrap it up. You will keep these rankings up to date throughout the season. And between you and Scott, you guys can shame me into taking a look at them every now and again. So I like our rankings, Rick. They're different. I've compared them against the big sites. They're a little bit different. So I think we went out there. It's what we want the asylum to be, is our opinion, not everybody else's opinion rehashed, which I think you get out there. So a couple programming notes, Rick. We're coming up on the 200th episode. Obviously, we're going to bring some friends of the show on. That show could go on forever. It could last 20 minutes if we have any friends left. We're not sure yet. Get us your questions at Asylum Football on Twitter, if you would. Anything you want to know, what we're going to do, we're going to tell some behind-the-scenes stories. We're going to pull that curtain back for you, which I think we do a good job of generally, but I want to do it a little more and really tell you some of the background to some different moments on the show. Rick, another programming note, we've talked about it, and it was with a lot of consternation. Honestly, this isn't show jive here. This isn't a bunch of shtick. But I think it's gotten a little cumbersome with the Fantasy Sports Network show, with this show, Point Blank, on Fridays, after this Friday. This Friday's Point Blank is going to be a best of, as I'm down here getting drunk somewhere else, which I think is going to be the title of this episode. You know, it's become a little cumbersome. I personally, Rick, have really enjoyed it, but I think, to your point, it's become a bit of a stretch. So we're going to eliminate that. We're going to expand this Wednesday show to an hour and a half to sort of fit in both the fantasy world, the NFL world, and the fun stuff you get on Point Blank. So we're going to shut that down effective this week, I guess.
Yeah, and like you said, we had some long discussions over, and we just think it's best to, you know, we want to make this show the best. And we're going to expand it to 90 minutes, and we're going to concentrate all our efforts in there instead of trying to, you know, do a lot of different things. We want to do the best that we can at what we do. And don't forget, you know, when the season starts, we'll be bringing the Inside Slant, the call-in show on Sunday mornings back, which was a huge success last season.
Yeah, and I can't wait for that. And that show really was the response we got for that. So tune in every Wednesday at 7. We will fit in some of the fun stuff that sets us apart. And that's why we did Point Blank, and that's why it was so much fun. That's where we differ from everything else out there. We will work that fun in. We will have fun. But I think it became, Rick, I think you'll agree, this is what we talked about, it became a little bit cumbersome. It became a bit of a stretch some weeks to get an entire hour out of the shtick that we like to do.
Yeah, and, you know, if we can't do it the best we can, we're just not going to. So we're going to expand the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show to 90 minutes, and you don't know what you'll be getting.
Yeah, and that's the best part, and I think that's what sets us apart, is God knows every time you turn this show on, you don't know what's going to happen. So, Rick, let's get out of here. Check us out, thefantasysportsnetwork.com. 2 o'clock on Sundays, I believe, Rick, although you said they played us a little early last week.
Yeah, last Sunday happened to air us at 1:30, so... And you want to hear a brand new show that you won't hear anywhere else except on the Fantasy Sports Network, check in, you know, on Sunday afternoons. And, you know, you might want to check in at 1:30 just in case they may want to throw us out there early again.
Yeah, and hey, it's a fantastic network. So really, what else are you doing on a Sunday afternoon? They do have an app on the iPhone. I'm not sure if they have an Android app, but I think they do. So download that, plug it in while you're mowing the grass, doing whatever you're going to do sometime on Sunday afternoon, 1:30, 2 o'clock, somewhere in there. You can hear an episode of The Asylum. You're hearing nowhere else. We will be back Friday night. Check it out. Dave, especially Friday night, a best of. I know that's a little ostentatious for a group like us, Rick. But we got a best of segment I'm really proud of. I spent a lot of time on it, and I think it's going to work out just great. So check that out. That'll be on Friday at 8 o'clock, the last incarnation of Point Blank.
Yes, indeed. So make sure you tune in for that, and you'll get a lot of good laughs out of that one. It's, we go way back in the vault to dig out some of these things. It'll be fun. And don't forget, the 200th episode is coming up on June 26th, and we're going to have a lot of friends of the Asylum in, you know, Dennis Farrell, Dave Cherney, Scott Fish, and yeah, maybe some other people. We're not sure yet.
Yeah, some other surprises. And hey, if you've been a longtime listener and you want a chance to talk to us, hit us up. We'll set it up ahead of time. We'd love to talk to you. So until then, Rick, we will be back Friday with Best Of. Otherwise, next Wednesday, 7 o'clock, with show 199 as we gear up till 200. Till then, we'll see you.
Take care.
I see you. Don't take those headphones off. You're listening to this song.
It's weird. I was pulling them off.
I can see you. I know. You can't see me, but I can see you. He just flipped me off. The best part is when we're playing music, Rick, for whatever reason, he doesn't come through. It's just me, him, and the music and the dirty faces he's giving me while I'm on the air. Now there's two middle fingers, as a matter of fact. Yeah, we can't even hear you. That's the best part. It's just me and Florida Georgia Line, Rick, and no one can. All right, I'm going to get us out of here before Gertie comes on. We'll see you. This really is getting drunk somewhere else, Rick. I drank a lot of beer today.
Oh, I'm glad.
Can't live at the beach.
Speaking of which, I'm going to the bathroom. I'll be right back.
Good luck. We're still on the air.
Strum a couple chords and sang from the heart. Gertie's show got the beat in my chest bumping. Hell, I can't get you out of my head.